You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. If your child suffered a serious birth injury, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. And on that positive note, we transition into one of my favorite people covering the National Football League, guy who spent some time here in Cleveland, probably know him best from his Super Bowl wins with the New England Patriots, Mr. Willie McGinnis from the NFL Network. Willie, what's going on, bro?
Just on my way into the network. Can you guys hear me fine?
Yes, we can hear you just fine. Obviously, a big game for the Browns Thursday night on your network against the Cincinnati Bengals in primetime. The Browns enter the game at 5-3. Willie, what's the national perception or your perception of where this Browns team is at right now and where they can go?
Well, I think everybody's a little optimistic about the Browns. And, you know, nobody knew where they would go, losing Josh Gordon earlier in the season. And you know, the quarterback, carousel, who's going to be the starting quarterback, which I think Mike Pett made the right decision with going with Brian Hoyer, and what type of team this would be. And, you know, I was there in training camp for a few days. I watched this team. I'm kind of familiar with how Mike, you know, Pett and teams are built and what he was looking for, and he had all those elements in that football team. So I was excited about the Browns and what they could accomplish, and I think they're probably right where everybody, you know, who really watches football and understands, you know, football and how this team is built, right where everybody thought they would be.
Willie, again, playing here in Cleveland, talk about, again, the culture of this city and how bad they want a winner. And again, through eight games, the Cleveland Browns are 5-3, yet there's still question marks. And so what they can do Thursday, tomorrow night, by winning and beating the Cincinnati Bengals, the division leader right now, but then what it would do for the city as a whole in rooting for a winner.
Well, man, let me tell you, my 3 years in Cleveland, they have some of the best fans in the NFL, and these fans are diehard. I remember when we went 10-6 and didn't make the playoffs, it was like we were in the Super Bowl. It's just so much hope. It's just been so much history with this team being right there, not able to go it all the way. They love their Brownies out there. They support. They stick to this team regardless of the record, regardless of what's going on. And thirsty is not a word. I mean, I can't even describe a word that would happen in Cleveland if this team, you know, just kept winning, kept plugging away, and won a Super Bowl. I almost jumped out there and won a Super Bowl. Let's get to the playoffs.
Sure. First. Yes, we'll crawl before we walk here, Willie. No question about it.
Get to the playoffs.
This defense started off very slow, learning another new scheme, 3rd one in 3 years. But lately, they've started to play very well, specifically on the back end of this D, with Deshaun Gibson leading the league now, 6 interceptions. You got Whitner, you got Joe Hayden. How impressed have you been with what Deshaun Gibson has been able to do as a former undrafted free agent?
You know, I looked at his numbers the other day because I had my midseason awards that I gave out to defensive players, and I didn't put him on the list, but I thought about it after I made my little list. And, you know, outside of Whitner / Hittner and Hayden, he's been a surprise not only to the city of Cleveland but to the league. Finding the football, he's been a ball hawk. Seems like everywhere the ball is, he's around it, making some big plays. His defense, I mean, what can you say? I mean, they've been through different coordinators, different coaches, and they haven't had a chance really to just get into one system for a lengthy amount of time to get comfortable. So what they're doing is really well. They got some areas they can improve on. But it's a tough group of guys. I love Dansby in the middle. He's a playmaker. He's a great leader. You guys picked him up. I just think this defense, once they get comfortable, once they really understand the system and the philosophies of the defense that Penn has fought over, they're going to be pretty dangerous. We've already seen glimpses of it.
Willie, we started the season extremely strong with the ability to run the football with Ben Tate, Isaiah Crowell, and Terrence West. We've kind of fallen on hard times in the last 3 weeks versus the Raiders, the Buccaneers, and of course the Jacksonville Jaguars, a game that we lost. What is your personal assessment of our inability to run the football, and how does that affect a defensive frame of mind when you go all in to stop one thing and force a quarterback with accuracy issues like Brian Hoyer to beat you with his arm?
Well, I think the bread and butter of this Cleveland Browns offensive side of the ball is to run the football. If you look at Mike Pettine and all the teams he's been with that have success, Baltimore, the Jets, it's been strong defense with a strong running game. And they've got the talent to do that. And, you know, the last three games, I think they've only averaged 52 yards on the ground, which is not, you know, it's not Cleveland football. It's not the way they're going to win football games. They need to pound people up front, control the line of scrimmage, run the football on a consistent basis, and that'll open up things down the field for Brian Hoyer. Now, his weapons are limited now. I mean, Andrew Hawkins is you know, we don't know where his health is. Jordan Cameron, you know, the concussion issue, and you don't have Josh Gordon. So, you know, some other guys have to step up and make some plays, but it all starts up front with Terrence West, Ben Tate, and those guys, and Crowell up front, man. Those guys can run it, they can tote it, and that'll give that offensive line confidence as well.
When you see two stars like Joe Hayden and A.J. Green battle, it's gone. Sometimes it's gone Green's way. Lately, it's gone Hayden's way. Is that something, as a former player, you get into seeing that kind of a marquee matchup in a primetime game like this?
Absolutely. I mean, I love – everybody knows, you know, what A.J. Green is, one of the better receivers, one of the best receivers in the league. But Joe Hayden, we have this cornerback debate talk all the time of who's the best corner in the league. And – sometimes people fail to mention his name. He's in the top three, top four cornerbacks in the league. I love this kid. He's humble. He comes to work every day. He's very competitive. His ball skills, he has great footwork. He plays the game the way it should be, and he doesn't back down from anybody. He's worth every penny that the Cleveland Browns paid him. I love this kid.
I totally agree, and it's good to see him finally get some success and have an opportunity to build on that. Want to ask you about one final thing. Greg Little's comments about the Browns and about Mike Pettine and the way that everything went down there. Do you think if you're in Cincinnati, are you happy that a guy who just joined your team and has four catches for 55 yards on the season has already been cut by the Raiders, cut by the Browns, is making such inflammatory comments this close to a big game?
Little has been a disappointment in the league. And for all the talent and all the potential that he was supposed to have, he has not reached not even half of it. And when players don't produce and they go somewhere else and talk, it's a reason why he was released, because he wasn't productive. He has the talent, he has the size, he has the skill. He just hasn't produced, and he hasn't been that player. So when guys like that talk, it means nothing, because they're not an impact player, and they haven't been. And if he was consistent and he was that player, then, you know, he wouldn't have to talk. His play would do all the talking for him. He's an underachiever, and he's at the verge of being a bust. So hopefully they can revive his career in Cincinnati, and him being released from Cleveland is a wake-up call.
Hopefully he can revive that after this game, Willie. We'll hope for it. Maybe after this game for you. How do you see this one playing out? What kind of a chance do you give the Browns to go into Cincinnati and do something that many people think they cannot do, win a big division game on the road?
Well, I mean, they went into Pittsburgh and they gave them all they could handle. I think if they go in with the right mindset and they go in with the right game plan, get back to what they were doing at the beginning of the season, I think it'll be a competitive game. It's hard to call these games nowadays. The teams you think is going to win or got one leg up on the other team, it never turns out that way. So Cleveland's got a good shot. They're fighting. And, you know, in the division and with these rivalry games, it doesn't matter what your record is. It's which team is going to show up, not turn the football over, capitalize on the other team mistakes, play sound football and execute the game plan. It always comes down to that.
Certainly does. Willie McGinnis, the NFL Network. Follow him on Twitter, at Willie McGinnis as well. Thanks for taking the time to be with us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and hope to see you soon, bro.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. When we come back, we're going to give our final thoughts here on this Wednesday edition of CBD. We're going to give you the biggest thing that gives us a little bit of cause for concern against the Bengals, the matchup to watch in this game, and also hand out our first half MVPs for the Cleveland Browns. It's the Gurren Will, Elmy, ESPN 850 WKNR.